We could spend a lot of time today with these readings because they're quite striking. I'll do my best. This is a reading from 2 Kings about the invasion of Sennacherib. Sennacherib was the Assyrian king. I got to take a step back. You see, everybody knows that there's more forces in this universe than us. Sometimes, in those days, they just cultivated them. They were all demons, but they didn't care whoever they were if they were going to help them out. They went along with them. Now that we're beyond the demon stage, we think, we cultivate other things. So Sennacherib, you see, had his own gods, Marduk and some of the others. They're all demons. They're all, you know. In other words, nobody, just until our era, ever tried to live without recourse to some other forces. And if you think we've gone beyond it, just read the lives of Jung, so many of the scientists, you know. They all were looking for some power, force, to make them safe, to give them power. And they found forces, all right? Demons. So Sennacherib has his gods, and he comes down. Now, this man had great forces. He was a great organizer, and he was a good general. And he's coming down to punish Hezekiah. This is 7th century B.C., 690, 689, around in there. And he's coming down to punish Hezekiah, which will mean storm that city, kill most of the inhabitants, send the rest into slavery, and just level the temple, because that's dedicated to their god. And to keep our god, our demon, happy, we have to destroy it, you see. And so the contest is between Sennacherib and his gods and Adonai. That's the contest. So Hezekiah, a devout man, you know, there's his army out there, and he goes into the temple and prays, and the word of the Lord comes to Isaiah, and it's a strong word, huh? She despises you, laughs you to scorn, the virgin daughter Zion. Behind you she wags her head, daughter Jerusalem. This message back to Sennacherib is, our God has just given you a message, Sennacherib. You're finished. Pretty daring, wasn't it? That's faith. Now, nobody knows quite what happened, but Sennacherib suddenly called off the siege and went home. Now, one account is the one we have here, that there was some sort of disease or plague just went through that army in a day or two, and he had to go home, didn't have an army anymore. Another is that there was a rebellion back at the palace, and he had to go back. We really don't know, but something happened, and is recorded. Herodotus, the Greek historian, recalls it. In other words, this is not just, this happened. And it happened to instruct us as well as them. And it has very much to do with the gospel. Huh? And so the Lord showed, don't get in a contest with me, anybody. Because if it's going to distract my people from me, I'll take care of you. What happened at the Battle of Lepanto, right? You know the Battle of Lepanto. Maybe you don't know the battle. The Muslim navy totally outnumbered, outmanned, outpowered the Christian fleet. So the Pope asked everybody to say the rosary. Ask Mary to protect the church and to protect Europe. Because if they lost that battle, Europe would be overrun by Islam. then the whole history of the world would be different. And so there was an upset. That Christian fleet blotted out the Muslim fleet. That's where we get the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, October 7th. That was the day of the victory. God does not often get involved in wars, but when his people are going to be in great danger, and for the sake even of his enemies, they're forced to recognize him. And that's what this story is all about. I wanted to make it real for you because, oh, another one of these stories of the Old Testament, you know, well, no, something happened. And it's recorded in other than just Jewish history. What, we're not quite sure. Herodotus says it was a plague, probably bubonic plague. Others are not quite so sure what happened, but something happened. Now in the Gospel, our Lord first gives us advice. And in a way, we have to work our way through this. Don't give what is holy to dogs or throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. That's one. There's three different pieces of advice here. In other words, you're going to preach the gospel. Pray and see where the Lord leads you to an open heart. Be smart. Now, most of us, the problem isn't being prudent, it's being scared. We have to preach the gospel. We have to tell people. But use your brains. And then the next piece of advice is do to others what you would like them to do to you. Immanuel Kant even figured that one out. And then we have the last one. Enter the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life. What's he talking about? He's talking about our civilization. Somebody was just telling me about this Mama Gaga or some name like that. You all know about her, huh? I mean, she's totally demonic and brags about it and is winning over kids by the thousands. How hard it is for those kids to, you know, overcome this, resist this. And their poor little heads and spirits are twisted in rebellion against God into sexual profligacy and all the rest. Follow me. And she openly says, I'm working for Satan. Hello? Where are we? You see? So, it's tough for teenagers like who have, like the rest of us, a deep drive toward evil, cultivated by this thing. Well, what are we going to do? Janice is going down and sing and try to offset some of Mama Gaga and what she sings there on the, you know, the Mother Angelica show. Yeah, Life on the Rocks. But I'm trying to point out, you see, that this is not a joke. There are times when the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And we've got to narrow that road down. It's so... You have to pray and see what's going on. You know, why this HHS mandate to eliminate the influence of the Catholic Church? Because Satan knows that that's the biggest obstacle to what he wants to do. Our Lady, in one of the very authentic locutions, says, you know, why hasn't Satan moved? He's got Islam, he's got Russia, he's got, you know, why hasn't he made his move? He's waiting to corrupt more if he can. before he makes his move. He's smart, but he's not God. God has a plan. Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. We just celebrated that in October, right? He has a plan. For us, we got to find that plan. Listen to that plan. You know, it would be nice if we were all back in an earlier age of the 20th century, when life was, you go to school, you graduate, you marry Gwendolyn, work for the five and dime, and live happily ever after. But that's not around anymore. It's not around anymore. It's just interesting that these two texts, I wouldn't say coincidence, but are here for us today. Sennacherib challenged because his God, his demon, was bigger than Israel's God. That there's one true God, not a thought like today, except for these poor little Jews. And they're unfaithful, but at least they know there's one true God. And so God shows his hand in mercy. Now, how many times has the Lord come to tell us what to do? Almost every day, the Pope's telling us again. We got to be serious. Pray, fast, evangelize. We're in a war. Everybody's waiting until Thursday to see what's going to happen with the Supreme Court. That'll be most interesting, really. In other words, if we are praying, Our Lady has promised this, things will get bad, but not so bad. If we don't, then things will get bad, and many souls will be lost. Many fans of Mama Gaga will keep on doing dope and sex and so corrupted they can't even think straight anymore. End of speech.